On the podcast today, we are going to dissect chapter 30 of the Tao Te Ching. And as usual, Guyang will read Jiafu Feng and Jane English's translation, and I will read Derek Lin's translation.
Whenever you advise rulers in the way of Tao, counsel them not to use force to conquer the universe, for this would only cause resistance. Thorn bushes spring up wherever the army has passed. Lean years follow in the wake of a great war. Just do what needs to be done. Never take advantage of power. Achieve results, but never glory in them. Achieve results, but never boast. Achieve results, but never be proud. Achieve results, because this is the natural way. Achieve results, but not through violence. Force is followed by loss of strength. This is not the way of the Tao. That which goes against the Tao comes to an early end.
The one who uses the Tao to advise the ruler does not dominate the world with soldiers. Such methods tend to be returned. The place where the troops camp, thistles and thorns grow. Following the great army, there must be an inauspicious year. A good commander achieves results, then stops, and does not dare to reach for domination. Achieves result, but does not brag. Achieves result, but does not flaunt. Achieves result, but is not arrogant. Achieves result, but only out of necessity. Achieves result, but does not dominate. Things become strong and then get old. This is called contrary to the Tao. That which is contrary to the Tao soon ends. This chapter is about the damage of forceful violence, conflict, and domination, both on a collective and individual level. And throughout history, as we know, we've always had rulers, and we've always tried to, on an individual level, tried to be in conflict with other people to get advantage in our own lives. And we often resort to conflict to promote our agenda, benefit our own self-interest. And what we know throughout time is this is quite an astonishing way to go about things, because as we know, this type of karmic effect that this Tao Te Ching is talking about, where violence begets violence, more violence, is that this type of attitude is undefeated throughout history.
Yes.
It's undefeated. And so it's quite astonishing, because we still have rulers and individuals that resort to conflict and violence in the modern, still right now.
The funny thing is that when people use violence and force, often want to be winner, right? They want to achieve victory there in that battle that they are going to produce, right? Yep. But they're very short-sighted in a sense, because at the end of the battle, even if you think that you achieved the victory, there is no real victory. Like, really? Like, do you really think that you won? Because at the end of the Great War, just like what this chapter of Tao Te Ching is saying, is a great disaster always comes. So even if you think you achieve victory, it's not really a victory. It's kind of a lose-lose situation, really, in the end.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Those who attack are often the ones who will end up being attacked.
Yes.
And like I said, this mentality is, or this karmic effect is undefeated throughout history. We've had all the great tyrants throughout history. We've had all the great empires. Where are they now?
Yes.
Completely gone. And we may be living within particular empires and under certain rulers in this modern day. And a lot of people may get distraught about that. But then this chapter gives you a little bit of objectivity, because you go, well, their time will come. It will come too.
Yes.
And that the rulers and that even people on an individual level don't know this is astonishing. It's hard to fathom.
Yes. Again, the violence and forces often bring the quick result, right? Like, yep, quick victory, quick result, and a quick achievement. So they are blinded by that just quick result. They're just being impatient somewhat.
Yep.
But again, in the end, we all know there's consequences as great as how big the battle was, really, and sometimes even worse. I mean, throughout the history, we know, like, even ancient time in China, like Genghis Khan and Alexander the Great, we know how it all ended up. They may have took over this huge amount of territory in the big continent. In the end, like, soldiers were tired, they were dying, obviously. And in the end, their own troops kind of betrayed their own king, right?
Yep.
And that's how all failure came. And when the failure comes, it happens quick in this situation.
It really does. And so one of the morals of this chapter is that if you are one who holds a grudge and want to attack someone, both individually and collectively, that actually causes harm to yourself.
Mm.
That's the irony. That's what the karmic effect in this chapter is about. Yeah. That's why actually when we do get into conflict with someone else and we cause harm on them, there is an innate thing that we feel really bad about what we've done. But actually, you'll probably experience the repercussions of that further down the line and in interesting ways. Not in a direct manner a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, especially in the modern day, when they talk about spirituality and this and that, they will say, well, why do always the good guys finish last and the bad guys, you know, get ahead? And it's like, well, just wait and see.
Yes.
Wait and see.
Yes.
Don't judge the story right from this moment. Mm. Let time have its way. And also, how are you judging that they are succeeding? Why? Because they may have wealth. They've cheated a bunch of people.
Yes.
And do you want to actually be like that? Do you want to cheat people out of money? Mm. Do you want just to be famous and have fortune?
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
Yes. Again, that impatience, that kind of attitude, you want just a quick result. And I think that's people taking a quick option.
Mm. Mm.
They don't want to persevere. They don't want to fight.
No.
They don't want to stay in for fight, right? But if you want to play long game, which is just following basically what Tao provides you, then again, that's how it should be. That you should just follow your fate, really.
Yep.
In that way, again, nature has infinite amount of time. It's infinity, really.
Yeah.
So going that way, you only will seek the balance in the end.
Yep.
So whether good or bad results, it all in the end will balance things out from your past action or future action, whatever happens, you know. So... yeah, we need to remember that always we need to be patient and be ready to stay in for fight sometimes.
Yeah. Well, Taoism, people have to remember, is a holistic philosophy. So when you're talking about holism and you're talking about the non-dualness of reality, that oneness is the only reality, there is one single event happening in the universe.
Mm.
It's not separate events. And so when you understand that we are all part of the one thing, it's one event happening of itself. And so when you understand that deeply, you'll reconsider getting into conflicts with other people if it's unnecessary, right? Like in this chapter, Lao Tzu is saying, only fight if you are left with no choice.
Yes.
And most of the time, we don't really have to fight. That those times of fighting with no choice are like times of war. And
yeah, if you're invaded, you can't just sit. And
like in situations like if someone breaks into your house and I threaten you and like Lao Tzu's realistic and pragmatic here, but how often do those situations actually happen? Very rarely. And so we often make up our own conflicts because we are basing our reality on our own individuality. And so then we have our own conditioned perspective of the world, which we try to push on other people. And we want people to think the same way as we do, which is the height of insecurity.
Yes.
And so when you understand it as one event happening in and of itself, you will reconsider every action you take, not in an overly analytical way, but like, for example, the story I often mention with George Ivanovich Gurdjieff's grandfather, where George Ivanovich Gurdjieff's grandfather said to him, when someone may annoy you or comes with you with some information or want to get into an argument and this and that, just tell him, look, stop for a sec. I'll come back in 24 hours and I'll give you an answer.
Mm.
And so you're not acting rash on the decision, but giving it time, allowing it to sort of gestate within yourself, and then, you know, see if that anger still is there after 24 hours, maybe, with that conflict.
Yeah, when you give yourself a little bit of time to reflect on what you've been told, then it's more so the after that time, the given to yourself to think about it, often that action often to be the more correct action than like immediate action, obviously. And again, we know the literal meaning of karma is action.
Yep.
It's not cause and effect, or it's not the consequences or anything like that.
Mm.
It's just literally the action.
Mm.
So whatever we do, that itself is karma.
Yep.
So when we do, like, when we do cheat, when we do lie or something like that, what you're doing is actually you are doing it to yourself.
Yep.
So, but you may not see it for what it is, but in some time, it'll come back around, that it'll kind of prove it to you almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is right. And that's a good point, because in our actions, the seed of the result or the effect is always there.
Mm.
And it will come back to you in any which way it will, and in very peculiar ways a lot of the time.
Yes.
Sometimes we experience instant karma. Sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
But we will experience it nevertheless. Mm. That's the point of this chapter.
There is always an intent behind certain action we do,
yep.
right? Whether that's a good intent or bad intent. And there is always the reason why we act a certain way.
Mm.
And that intention itself doesn't lie.
Mm.
So I think that's the deeper part of when we talk about karma, and when we try to understand the real sense of karma.
Yeah, mm. And intention is a good point, because we can all start our day, for example, simply with pure intention.
Yes.
So we can meditate in the morning. We can have a little bit of quiet time before we go out and do something, have a tea, enjoy a tea, read a couple of chapters of the Tao Te Ching. Begin your day with intention.
Yes.
And then you see how your day unfolds. Of course, there's going to be obstacles, and you might get taken down a psychological cul-de-sac because of someone else.
Mm.
But if you put your intention at the start of the day on the right track, then you'll see how your day naturally unfolds in a harmonious fashion 90% of the time.
Yes, yes.
But if you're starting off chaotically, where you're going, just waking up late, going straight to work, getting into arguments with people on the train, and what do you think is going to happen in the day?
Yes.
Nothing positive can happen. Yeah. And so that intention is really important. But that intention is also an affirmation that you belong to something much greater than yourself.
Mm.
And you're willing to contribute to peace and harmony as opposed to conflict. It's a choice. It's a choice. You can get annoyed by something you read online, and you can comment about it like an immature person.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised when someone else writes back to you and lays the smack down on you. And then you'll be in this argument for hours with someone online you've never even met. Because your original intent was based on your conditioning and your conditioned perspective of it.
That's right.
That's one of the funniest things online is when you correct someone online and then that person gets angry, but their original message was violent. Their original message was based on conflict.
Yes.
But they get so annoyed, and then they start, you know, doing the blame game. Oh, you reacted, and saying, no, it's not reacting. I'm just saying you misspoke.
Yes.
And I'm just saying that's what you're saying is incorrect.
Mm.
And we've all experienced that online, where the other person is totally defensive and not thinking clearly.
Mm.
And that's the minefield of social media, the minefield of the internet.
Yes.
And that's a good example of actually this chapter today.
Yes, 100%. On online world, when we write some comments on a video or putting up a post or something like that, that's a clear evidence of how many people out there who are writing things without too much thinking behind, right? So which means they act without thinking.
And a lack of care for the individual they're writing to.
Well, that's of course.
Yep.
And so yeah, there's a lot of things that we need to consider when we before we act, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And if we just understand that we're part of much something greater than ourselves, we wouldn't act in that way. We would consider the other person, and we would also consider that, is my opinion or is my perspective on this even necessary to even mention?
Yeah.
Like, who am I to even mention it? Mm. And does it even matter if they don't think the same as I do?
Right.
And as we know, with all of the rulers throughout time, and this is where everyone, in some sense, is subtly influenced by a sort of a ruler psychology in their mind, is a lot of people want other people to think the same as them.
Mm.
And they're not comfortable in their own two shoes and allow other people to live as they will. And that's the essence of the Tao Te Ching, right? The essence of Wu Wei,
yes,
is allowing people to live as they will, because that's the way of nature.
Yes.
I don't care if you don't are not interested in the Tao Te Ching,
yeah,
or Taoism. But if you are, that's wonderful. We can have a great conversation.
Yeah.
But if you're not, it's water off a duck's back.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. And this is why particularly Taoism is very threatening to a lot of other religions, particularly religions that have a doctrinal privilege of conversion, where they are going around the world and feverishly trying to get people to think the same way as they are.
Yeah.
But the Tao Te Ching is saying, just allow people to be as they will and just let nature be as it will. And there's actually a peace and harmony to that.
Yeah.
And what does that actually do? Well, you're not in conflict with other people. There's no friction.
Mm.
There's a lack of friction. And some people in the modern day believe that they need friction in their lives. But do you really need friction in your life?
Yeah.
You don't. When you don't have friction in your day, everything goes by peacefully. But then people say, but I get bored. I need a little bit of friction. You've gone down the wrong rabbit hole there.
Yeah. I think the people, obviously, a lot of people have this lack of understanding of difference in individuals. When they find it's difference in thinking and way of doing things in different individuals, as if they take that as if they have some sort of right to judge people.
Mm.
That's two completely different thing there. Everyone has different genetic makeup in their temperament, personality, and psychological tendencies, and the brains look subtly different. We all are different. So whoever have a different interest in many different things, we need to embrace it instead of go out and telling them what to do and try to make an argument out of nothing, really.
Exactly.
And which is, again, that's quite rude too.
Yeah, it is quite rude. And that's why in this chapter it's saying that if you're not possessed by that dominating mindset,
yeah,
you won't have a tendency to push your opinions on other people. Mm. And also you'll have a equilibrium in your life,
mm-hmm,
where, as it says in this chapter, you know, don't brag, don't flaunt, don't be arrogant,
mm,
only do things out of necessity, you know. Well, it says achieve results, but only out of necessity, and also obviously do not dominate, right?
Yes,
so, and that's how we should actually conduct ourselves on an individual level.
Yes,
this is not just even for a ruler or for a nation or an empire. It's about how we should govern ourselves. Even govern's probably the wrong word, but govern ourselves on an individual level.
Yes.
Where we're not falling for this or that. And this is similar to Nishkarma Karma in the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna is saying to Arjuna, act, but don't be attached to the fruits of your action. Because that's a karmic trick, actually, mm-hmm, where you can feel like a sense of arrogance, mm-hmm, or you can feel a sense of entitlement because you may have achieved something that is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, this stokes the fire of the ego, and then
yeah,
off down the rabbit hole you go.
Yes, that's right. We know that, we are talking this chapter of Tao Te Ching, and organized violence and forces and war and conflict and things like that is completely against the way of nature, way. And that is why we, after that conflict, we should get ready to receive some sort of consequences, and that, because that's how things work in nature. So we need to remind ourselves that before we act, is it natural way, like is it effortless way, is it natural way, or fit to the situation. So we need to think a bit more about it. So going with nature, following almost the fate, the way of nature has a plan for you, like you mentioned about the nishkama kama, right? So that is, you are open to accept whatever happens in front of you in your life, right? So that kind of openness, without jumping on things quickly and just take an action, and you cause more dramas in the end.
And it's about managing our mind too, right? Understanding our mind at a deeper level, which the Tao Te Ching, Buddhism and Hinduism provide. And like you said, not jumping on things immediately. We've probably all had this situation, right? Particularly when we were younger, where someone may have said something to us, say at school, and then they've said something to you, but you didn't have like a good comeback at the time. It's like that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza was thinking of zingers to go back to and say, well, jerk store. And then it was lame and everyone was like, what? Like, doesn't even make any sense. So, but we've had those situations in our life where we'll be stewing on it, maybe over a whole weekend.
Yeah.
And you can't even think clearly. You're stewing on it. Like, you're just going, oh, I can't wait to see him again.
I'm going to leave a mark. I'm going to let him know.
Exactly, exactly. And see, that's an untrained mind. See, that's a mind that's polluted with conditioning, socialization.
Yeah.
And so you can't think clearly. And your mind should be natural. Well, it is naturally empty, spontaneous, and free. So if someone says something to you, it should just be in one ear and out the out the other.
That's right.
But if it sticks, that means there's this ball in your mind, this conditioned ball, that is like a duster. It picks up all the dust in the environment.
Something triggered in your mind by whatever you heard, right? So that is actually got nothing to do with what's been said. That's everything to do with your own conditioning in your mind. So that's what we need to figure it out. Once we find out what that is, then we can be truly free from it, so that we no longer get triggered by same comment again.
Exactly. And that's when you can always tell how far people have progressed on the spiritual path. If they're getting triggered all the time, or they're angry about a lot of things, then they may be interested in spirituality, but they should not be going around telling anyone about it, because they are still at that level of accumulating all the dust in the environment and still getting angry about each and every thing. Whereas the evolution on the path is to come back into your actual real nature, where your mind is empty, spontaneous, and free. You have a mind of no deliberation, and you gain that childlike innocence back, where you can live life effortlessly and freely, as you said. And just allow the river to go where it will. And you move with it as one with it. And that's how simple it is, isn't it?
I mean, again, we said it many times throughout our podcast. That is, when we learned that lesson, it's the easiest way to do and easiest way to be.
And there will be no conflict.
Well, that's why.
Path of least resistance.
Yes.
If you're going around looking for conflict, you'll find conflict.
Yes.
If you're going around throwing your opinions here and there, don't be surprised if someone disagrees with you.
Yes.
But if you're willing to follow the path of Wu-Wei, the path of non-interference, of effortlessness, life will have a way for you.
Yes.
And you don't even have to think about it.
Yes.
You're in alignment with that river, as one with the river. And as I've always said, its power becomes your power.
Yes.
Okay, guys. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys next time.